Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are going to speak about, has prayer lost its power? You know, so many of us as Muslims, we pray 5 times a day. Some of us pray 3 times a day. Some of us pray more than 5 times a day. And we feel that our prayers get nowhere. Unfortunately, if I ask you what your prayer time was like, you would have different answers. We're not all going to have the same answer about prayer. And it sometimes feels that even though we offer our 5 times prayer a day, that it doesn't seem to benefit our lives. We don't seem to see any results. So what is the reason for this? Why is it that not the prayers that I offer or the dedication that I seem to have to praying seems to have any effects on my life? It doesn't seem to transform me in any way. Why is it that when I go and I do it, my prayers in the mosque or if I do them at home, it seems like there's nothing happening? Why do I continue to live a life that is full of disgrace? And why do I feel that I live a life that is, seems to be dominated by shaitan? And everything I try to do doesn't seem to get very far. I have battles just with the simple things in life. Now, why is it that prayer seems to not have any power? I am doing what I'm told to do, and I am praying 5 times a day, yet I still don't have any results. I'm not having that victory that Christians talk about when they pray. Christians say, when I pray, I have victory. Yet as Muslims, we often find that we don't have that victory. We don't seem to get anywhere. We still seem to be on the starting block. I watched some people the other day pushing a car, and there were 3 of them or 4 of them trying to push this car. And the person that was sitting in the car had the car in neutral, and they were trying to push it and weren't able to get anywhere. Notice that the reason they were unable to get anywhere is because the handbrake was still on. And so when the person took the handbrake off, they were still unable to get anywhere. And that was because the ground that they were pushing the car up along was very slippery, so the people were slipping. So there's many factors that need to be considered when we look at why our prayer is ineffectual or why it is not working. And so the usual answer that you hear when people speak to you about why prayer is not effective is because they will say that you haven't been offering it regularly enough, or that you haven't done the prescribed manner that Allah has asked you to do it. And sometimes you don't like that answer. You say to people, I do my best, I try my hardest, but the prayers just don't seem to get anywhere. Now, whenever you ask a question, why don't prayers work, or why don't these things work, why don't the other thing work, sometimes we don't like the answers. And sometimes the simplest answer is the right answer. So I will try to the best of my ability to give you an answer why I think prayers might not be working in your life. And I apply these rules to my own life. So it's not I'm trying to preach down to you or anything like this. These are things that I have found in my own life. Many times I find that prayer is not beneficial or is not working or is not working to the satisfactory level that I expected to work in my life. And so I've written down some ideas that I have accumulated from other scholars and learned from other people along the way on how I think we can live a better life. Now, if we look at a simple clock or a watch, and I have a very expensive watch in my hand, which is probably the most expensive item that I own in my entire life. And this was given to me by a person who, after I did a conference, and this is a very, very expensive item, and it's probably the same price as my car cost me. So that tells you how expensive it is. And if I take it off, you'll notice that it is quite difficult to take off, but it is very heavy and it's put together in a special way. And I'm not worried about the name of the clock or who made it or what company made it. But what is amazing about this watch, or what is amazing about this clock, is that a lot of hard work went into putting it together. Now, you have other watches and other clocks that you can buy, and you can get them relatively cheap. You can get them for less than $1, and others cost you a few $100s, and some even a few $1,000s. So what makes one watch over another more expensive, and what makes one watch over another one that you would want to purchase or would like to have as a gift from somebody? Well, what we notice about a clock, even the ones that you might have on the wall at home, is that they all have a second hand, they all have an hour hand, and some of them even have a minute hand that moves around. And all of these are structured and put together in such a way as that they will keep accurate timing and they'll keep an accurate record of what is going on. So they will tell you exactly what is going on in time. You know, if you've got to be somewhere at 9 o'clock in the morning, that you have a trust that your watch or your clock on the wall will tell you the exact time so you know where to be. But now a number of small parts are put together inside one of these mechanisms to make sure that they give an accurate record of time. But not all watches and clocks work successfully. Many lose time over a period of time. Now, some of you who may have in your home, you might have the conventional grandfather clock, a grandfather watch at home, which means it has a pendulum on it. So you have to pull the pendulum down and it has a chain. And during the course of the day, you'll see the pendulum slowly moving up towards the top, and you have to pull the chain down again at the end of the day. If you don't do this, you'll see that it'll start losing time. And so each watch has to be wound or has to be pulled up so that it keeps an accurate record of timing. Now this one is an amazing watch because what it does is, it, as I move and as I walk, it is automatically winding itself. It's what they call a kinetic watch. But some watches, you still have to wind them. You have to take them and wind them every day, and you have to make sure that they're wound tightly. Now if you overwind it, what can happen is the spring inside the watch will actually break. If you don't wind it well enough, then it will start to lose time. So when you look maybe 11, 12, 13 hours down the line, you'll find that you're starting to lose a minute here and lose a second there. And so the purpose of this clock, or the purpose of the watch, making sure that it's wound tight, making sure that you do everything regularly and properly, is to reflect and indicate the correct time. And if it doesn't reflect and indicate the correct time, then what's the point of having a watch or a clock on your wall? And then what you do is you get rid of it. Now these days, what we have digital clocks, and so they're a little bit more accurate. But even there, we still have to rely on the computers, and we have to rely on the circuitry, and we have to rely on the battery. And the battery can run flat, and we need to replace the battery. And so what is needed is that we need to constantly check this watch, check this clock, to make sure that it is reflecting time correctly. And so only when all the parts are working correctly, only when everything is wound together and all working properly, can it fulfill the purpose for which it was made. And if we don't wind it, and if we don't have it in its proper place and reflecting the proper time, then it will not show the time correctly, and then we cannot be surprised that when we have a look at the clock that we're not on time, we don't get to the place that we're supposed to be. So if we keep all the parts in the case working together properly, then what we have a correct reflection of time. So what has all this got to do with us? In all situations that we live in, we need to make sure that we work together properly. Everything has to work together. The time has to be reflected properly. All the parts within the clock have to work together properly. And then what it does, it reflects the true nature of the clock or the watch. And so it is with life. We have to reflect the true nature of how we're assembled and how we're put together. If we constantly forget and neglect to look after our lives and neglect the way that we're supposed to look after the watch and time, then what happens, things will start to fall apart and not operate the way they're supposed to. So now how does this fit into Islam in any way? How does this reflect our neglect of prayer? Well, you see, imagine Islam is like a clock. And the more you take care of it and the more you look after it, you see the real purpose of the clock. You see the real purpose of Islam. And so your Islamic life will start reflecting correctly of what's happening inside of you. So the aim of Islam is to show you how you should live your life and how you should come closer and how you can become closer to Allah Ta'ala. And so if you are a true witness of Islam, you should reflect to mankind the truth of what's happening inside of you. However, if you're neglecting some part of your life and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, what you'll find is that you start neglecting your spiritual life, you'll start neglecting your prayers. So you should yourself become a follower of the commandments of Allah, follower of the rituals that have been given to you in the Quran. And there, if you start to follow these things, they will make you a better Muslim. It says in the Quran, you are indeed the best generation of mankind who have been brought for. And it says in the following, in chapter 3 of the Quran, and verse 110, it says, you enjoy the doing of right and forbid the doing what is wrong, and you believe in God. Is this what you reflect when you wind up your life, when you check that your life is in order? Is this what happens in your life? Are you one who forbids what is wrong and enjoys what is good? Or are you one who just sits back and allows things to happen and not worrying about what happens? You don't stand for the truth, you don't stand for what is right, and you just allow evil to take over. So you have to look very carefully at the watch that you're wearing. The watch that you wear is a Muslim. What is this watch that you're wearing? How is the mechanism and the parts put together? Are you fulfilling the purpose, the various parts that are required for you to live as a Muslim? We are like the clock, and so are we in any way put together in the way that we should be? So what are the beliefs, the principles, and the morality that we're living by? What are the rules from day-to-day conduct that we are living by? What are the day-to-day things that we are doing that prove somehow that we might be right with God, or that we should be right with God, or that we are right with Allah? So we have to see that, are we the slaves of Allah that we claim to be, or are we on our own doing our own thing? We're all by ourselves and saying, well, listen, it's my way or the highway. I want to do it my way, and this is the way it's going to be. everything in the world that we encounter, everything that we see, everything that we spend our money on, everything that we earn, everything that we gain, the laws of the world, the laws of war and peace, how we are reacting, how do we deal with this, how do we behave? And so even the principles of governance and governing in our area, perhaps you're standing for a local council or a ward council, or maybe a mayor or even president of your country. How are you going to bring the laws of Islam into this? Or are you going to say, no, we keep these aside, we don't mix religion and politics together? And so all of these are part of Islam, our day-to-day conduct, the right of Allah in our life. Are we prepared to be a slave to Allah? Are we slaves to ourselves and decide to follow our own fleshly desires? All these are principles that must be considered, because these are part of Islam and these are the intricate parts of the clock. So as in the clock, all these parts need to be linked together. If we try to separate them or have them on their own or by themselves, these parts will not work together, and therefore the clock will not reflect the true time. And so these things will not reflect the true nature of a Muslim. And so we'll find that we're starting to lose time, we'll start finding that we are falling apart. Now we're going to take a short break, and when we get back from the break, we're going to continue to look at how we can make prayer more effectual. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back, and we're looking at the analogy of the clock and how we can look at the clock part and how to put together and see how we as Muslim can fix and sort our prayer time out so that it can be effectual. In order to fasten together different parts of the clock, there are little screws and there are little parts that hold all these cogs together inside a clock or a watch. Now, I showed you my watch and I said this is a very expensive watch. So this one we have inside very, very intricate parts, and they are tiny, tiny, microscopic almost, that you have to look under a very thick or very intense microscope or intense magnifier to be able to see these parts, how intricate they are. And they're all put together in a way to make sure that the clock works perfectly. If I take just one piece out, it will stop working. And so similarly, to join all the parts of Islam together, we need to acknowledge that we need to pull together as an organization, as a people, and we need to have an organization that runs Islam effectively. Many mosques seem to run on their own without any answerability to anybody. Many Muslim organizations seem to run on their own without any authority that they answer to. And today, unfortunately, many Muslim books are being printed and written that are actually damaging to the Muslim community because there's no organization that they're answering to. You see, we need a Jummah. We need someone to pull together, an organization together. So Muslims should organize themselves, and they should have leadership people that are in authority over them so that they can have answerability. They can also be corrected in that way. So we all need to strive to live under Allah's rule, and we all need to be part of the body of Islam. We should not be separated and feel that we can somehow operate all on our own. So the cleaning of the clock is also very necessary. Now, could you imagine if I decided that I don't like the parts of my watch here, and I decided that I would like to replace two or three parts of my watch and perhaps put in inside this watch maybe something from a lawnmower. You know, when you do your lawn and you want to cut the grass, and I decide that I want to put a lawnmower engine part inside my watch. Now, what will happen to my watch? Two things will happen. One is it will stop acting as a watch and give me the accurate time because of half the parts are missing. And two, it will not mow the garden. It will not cut the grass. So it will neither tell me the time or cut the grass. If I decided to put sewing machine parts in my watch, it will neither sew uniforms or clothing, nor will it tell me the time. So you can't put foreign parts into a watch to expect it to work, nor can you do that with Islam. You can't put foreign parts into Islam and think somehow that your prayers will be effectual. No matter if you get 99% of it right and you do one part wrong, it will still not work. If I take 1% of this watch and take it out and put 1% lawnmower parts in here, 1% sewing machine parts in here, or 1% outboard motor of a motorboat in here, it will still not either be a motorboat or a watch. Same with Islam. Now, why would it be any different? That if you do 99% of Islam correctly and you take out 1%, you think it's going to be effectual. It is not going to work. It will fall apart. And so the salah, when you perform your salah, the five times daily prayer, you have to perform your five daily prayers a day with effectiveness. You have to make sure that there are certain things that you have to do. And one of them is to make sure that you have cleaned it. And so what you need to do with, as you would with a watch, or as you would do with a car engine, you need to do exactly the same with your salah. You must make sure that you are cleaning it, making sure that you're cleaned and lubricated and all the parts are working together. So the first thing is that you make sure that you are sticking fast to the number of times that you have to pray a day. So when you do prayers, that all some of the things that help you in praying is, for example, fasting in 30 days or 29 days of the year, where you do your fasting. And this way, what it does is it cleanses your heart and it cleanses your morals. It teaches you to be morally correct. And what this acts is, it's almost like a lubricant. And this is what is required. Then the next thing you need to do is you pay your zakat. And zakat, when you do that, that is like the oil that is applied to all the different parts within the clock. And that makes sure that it runs easily. Now, lubricant is there to prevent it from overheating, but it's also there to make sure all the parts work smoothly together. And it stops any grime and grit building up, and it all drops down. Even in the engine of a car, all the grit and grime, it's collected by the lubricant or by the oil, and it drops down to the bottom, and it stays away from the mechanism so it works properly. And so this is necessary. And sometimes you need to even overhaul periodically. And this is when you go on a Hajj. Hajj is like when you have a total overhaul. If you take your car in for a total overhaul, or you take a watch in for a total overhaul, they clean out all the dust, they clean out all the grime and rubbish. And so this is what Hajj does. And if you perform it properly, it will last your whole life, and it will cleans out your life for good. Obviously, if you have more opportunities to go, that is wonderful. But basically, it helps you to do that. So you should do it. It helps you cleanse your life out. So when we abuse our clock, when we stop looking after our clocks and we don't overhaul them, when we don't give zakat and we don't do what is required from us, what happens then is the clock starts to fall apart and it starts to lose time and it doesn't look good. Same with Islam. If we start to think that we can start adding foreign bodies into our religion of Islam and we go and we perform our salah, do we think it's going to be effectual and we somehow think that it's going to work? No, it won't. It will fall apart. Everything will start going in its own direction. The parts will not start working together and then you'll have problems. So when you perform your salah, nothing happens. You don't seem to get further than your hands. It gets as far as your hands and it drops straight down to the ground because it's not going anywhere, because you're not doing the rest. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that all the parts are working together. We need to stop abusing the clock. And the way we abuse our clock is by saying, okay, fine, today I will not go to Juma. I will do it at home because it's too far to drive, it's too hot. My wife is not at home today, so she's not going to see that I'm not there. No, you go and you do it. So all the parts must work together. You need to make sure that even when people don't see what you're up to, that you're performing your salah properly. Now today, many people want to follow other ways. They say they are Muslims, but they follow the teachings of Gandhi, or they follow the teachings of Lenin, or they follow the teachings of this person, or some positive motivational speaker, more than they follow Islam. And so what happens, they bring in all these un-Islamic gadgets into their life. And so what we see, what seems to be a clock, we have a look at the back of that person and you find there's not a clock at all. We see all these foreign gadgets that have been added in. So we need to make sure that we as Muslims, no matter what, even if we look like a Muslim from the outside, if you turned us around or turned us upside down, you would see that the parts still Muslim parts. And so we have to make sure that we don't allow any foreign items in. Today we have become so modern and we become so secular. And today people, we have a look in what's inside them and we find that they haven't sent their children to secular schools. And they're listening to secular music and they're watching secular films. And they're going to secular clubs and they're dancing and they're doing all the secular things. And they've moved further and further away from Islam. And so they wonder why, when it comes to prayer, that is ineffectual. I have seen in some countries where there's a discotheque across the road from a mosque, and the people leave the discotheque or the clubs or the nightclubs, and they walk straight across to the mosque. They during those five times a day that they must go pray, and then they go back into the club afterwards. Now, how do they think that's going to be of any use or any effect? You're making a mockery of it, and what happens? You're becoming superstitious about praying. So you go and pray out of superstition. You're not praying because you want to pray, and so you cannot be effectual. So with a little reflection and a little thinking, just looking at ourselves and saying, what can I do to change? You can see that you need to reduce some of these foreign items, and you need to reduce them very quickly. You can't keep them, and you can't keep thinking that the original parts of your watch are going to stay there once you've introduced foreign parts, because you're not going to remember where the foreign parts are from the original parts. So you need to start cleaning out. So the way to start cleaning out is have a look. Even if you have to sit there with a pen and paper and painstakingly write it out, you might find that you'll end up filling up five or six books full of foreign articles that you've added into your life. And then you need to start removing them. And the removal part is going to be difficult to do because you've got so used to having these foreign parts in your life. So remove them one at a time. And so the only way to find your way forward is to remove these parts out and start winding up your clock and your watch properly. And so you will produce right results. So why are the worship rites so effectual when they are done when you have the right pattern? They're effectual because you are staying close to Allah. You're staying close to the original. Now, if we look at the first generation Muslims, how effectual were they? They believed and they had results. Today we are so far away from the first generation Muslim, and we've lost what it was to be a true Muslim. And so many people say, you've been too tough, you've been too difficult, we need to move with the times. That's the one thing about time. It's stayed constant for the last 1,400 years. It hasn't changed. Time has remained constant. What we have done is we have changed. So why change what is constant? If it worked 1,400 odd years back, it will still work today. We can't modify and change to move with the times. What people often say when they say, let's modify or move with the times, is they're saying, let's give sin a license. Let's make sin less effectual. Let's make sure that people believe that they can do whatever they like and there's no consequence to the action. There is consequence for the action. We believe that you are going to pay for it at the end of your life. You see, many people have the idea and they say, if you bring foreign items in, maybe you'll become a pearl. Now, you see, that won't work in the real world. You see, foreign items only work and make something a pearl under the ocean. And now none of us live under the ocean. We live on top of the ocean, and we live in this world. In this world, we work according to time. And time is running out, and time is not your friend. And what you need to do is you need to make sure that you get the original parts back into your watch. You need to get the original parts back into your salah. And the way you need to do that is to remove all the foreign items. Get rid of them one by one. Start writing them down and getting rid of them. So a Muslim's duty is to be careful. A Muslim's duty is to be sincere. A Muslim's duty is to make sure that he does what is effective. And why does he not make a difference in life? He does not make a difference in life because he doesn't take his religion seriously. And once you start taking your religion seriously, you'll start seeing that there is no time to play games. There's no time to mess around. So I just want to leave this with you, last thought to think about. We have no idea when we are going to be called home, when Allah is going to say, your time is up. And what will your clock look like? What will your internal clock look like when we are shown it? And remember, the whole of humanity will see it. So take time, take that minute of your life and say, what can I do to change time? What can I do to change my time? Because your time is coming. And if inshallah, Allah will give you the strength and ability to see all the nonsense that you've allowed in and start removing it. So that's all I have time for today. And my time I've tried to use properly. So try to use your time properly. So from me, Arib Islam, assalamu alaikum.